Want to share a brief message with you. Anyone remember the title to last week's message? Vote and trust God. Amen. Vote and trust God. Well, today's title is called The Response to the Election. It's called Pray and Trust God. Amen. See, because once you vote and trust God, whether your candidate won or lost, you still have to pray and trust God. So this is not a political sermon, though it's on the election or the results of it. Because as I said last week, Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight, which tells you that the folk out there fighting are not his servants. Okay? Now, so a couple of months ago, I stood before you and I said, which sinner will God use to govern our nation? You remember that? Which sinner? And I did that on purpose to jar your minds to, because that's the way it is. And here we are. That's not a bad thing to say, I don't think. But last week, as I said, the title of the message was Vote and Trust God. By the way, if you didn't know, in Australia, voting is required by law. If you didn't know that. If you aren't in a hospital dying, if you can't get to the polls, you know, you're expected to vote by law. It's required. But here, this voting is every 4 years for the presidential election is every 4 years. But trusting God is a day by day, moment by moment, inward reality. So when I looked at my sermon title last week, it said Vote and Trust God. It was a 4 year deal and an every moment reality. And that's why I said the emphasis was going to be on trusting God. Listen, whether your candidate won or lost, you will be required to trust God in these next 4 years, regardless. Okay? Now, at Tuesday night prayer, we prayed for our nation. And now remember, this was before the election or at the tail end, as the people were still, polls were still open. We were here praying. And it was so beautiful because we were praying that God would grant our leaders the grace and grant them the ability after such a divisive campaign to come together and to be able to get something done. And I said that because even if you didn't follow it closely, you had to in some way have been impacted by everything that was said. When before Barack Obama took office in 2008, the head of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, said, my job will be to make you a one-term president. When you face that type of gridlock, see, what I'm saying is the reason why we need to pray, because we don't need that again. We don't need that. But guess what? This is human nature. You remember how you treated me? That's how I'm going to treat you. And we don't need that. So God help us, right? And so we were praying on Tuesday night, Lord, that you would help us. And I remember at the end of prayer, I remember, blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord. And then the last words were this: one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That came at the end of the prayer time, and there was a unique presence. There was when Do you remember, for you, those of you who were here, there was a presence. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Were that the nation was to experience this, because, beloved, we are not there now. We are not there. One nation, yes. Under God, partly. Indivisible. So there's a reason why I said pray and trust God. Because if there was a time when you are needed, it's now. It's now. Because there are, if there aren't darker days ahead of us, we're already living in some dark times. So I got on Facebook and, you know, just check, because let me tell you my involvement with Facebook. You have a birthday, I get on Facebook, I say happy birthday, and then I log off. that's my involvement, because I got so much that I'm doing, right? So that's about the extent of my involvement. However, this morning, something that has affected Sherry Reed, because you posted it, and then a friend of mine from high school, though, had posted how she had got on, and just for Veterans Day, she was feeling, you know, quite patriotic, and so she just put up, her profile picture was a picture of the flag, American flag. And a friend of hers, not an acquaintance, a friend, tore her to shreds over that flag. And it was all because of the election. Tore her apart. Now, I said last week that this election has divided friends, families. Okay, mommy's not here today. But mommy told me after church on Sunday, she came up and she said, Pastor, I have a friend at school who told me that her father and mother don't even sleep in the same bed anymore because one is for Trump and the other is for Clinton. Now, church, come on. When you put your hope in man, when you put your hope in any other thing but God, your hope is going to vanish. It's going to vanish. Because hope, the scripture says, now abides these three things, faith, hope, and love. The greatest, but there abides. Hope is meant to be continual. It's not meant to be, you know, the scripture says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You got a whole lot of sick people today. Whole lot of sick. Why? Because their hope was not in God. When your hope is in God, guess how you live? Not this. And then, you see, you don't have that when you keep your hope in God. And so here we are. Okay, so that was Tuesday night. Then Trump won the election. And we have a new president-elect. And he is in great need of our prayers. Because when I was thinking about this, you know, winning an election is not like winning a football game. When you win a football game, you celebrate, you kick back, and you go sit down, and you enjoy the sport. You just, you know, hey, we're the champions. When you win an election, you just won the right to become, some put the emphasis on power. I like to put the emphasis on responsibility, because you just became responsible for all that you were trying to win. And now you have to work, and you have to get your hands dirty and actually govern. And so President-elect Trump needs you. He needs me. He needs us, even if he doesn't know it. But he needs us. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. He turns it wherever he wishes. Now, see, I feel like running because, hey! See, it doesn't matter. This is what, it doesn't matter if you're, oh my goodness, let me get, I'm getting ahead of myself. But if you're, what matters is the authority of our president, the king, the one who stands above him. You know, there's an authority figure that stands over every president of every country in the world. And because our trust is in him, we can trust him. It's in his hand where the king of the heart is, and he turns it whithersoever he wills. And we look, because no candidate is perfect, right? No candidate. Listen, as I looked at this whole thing, I thought to myself, you know, we were going to have protests or demonstrations or riots. We were going to have them one way or the other. Because the Trump supporter says, oh, if he loses, we are going to demonstrate. They said it, but the Democratic supporter said they actually did it, though. I'm assuming, I don't know who all those people are running around in the streets, but I'm assuming most of them are Democrats. But the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And one commentary said this about this passage of scripture. That the heart of the king, however highly exalted above his subjects, and so removed from their knowledge he may be, he has yet one above it by whom it is moved by hidden influences. The prayer of the oppressed, for example. For man is indeed free, yet he acts under the influence of divinely directed circumstances and divine operations. And though he reject the guidance of God, yet from his conduct nothing results which the omniscient, speaking of God, who is surprised by nothing, does not make subservient to his will in the world plan of redemption. In other words, it doesn't matter who is the president of the United States. God is going to take their leadership and work his plan through it. Now, we can't do that, which is the reason why we get so upset when we don't get what we want. Hello? Don't we get upset? I mean, if your child's running off in some way, you get upset. I mean, you try and correct them, and they're grown now, but you can't correct them, and they're running off. Because we don't have the power, but he does. He has ways of influencing your child such as you never could. So leave the child in his hands. Be at total and complete rest. You say that's hard. I know it's hard, but the fact still remains that your child is his. Amen? Your child is his. And so now the election's been won by Trump, but we have, and it's sad to say, but we have a divided country. We have a divided country. And that's part of the reason why I chose the sermon title I have, Pray and Trust God. Because we have a lot of people in this country who do not know what to do with the fact that they didn't get what they wanted. Let me say that again. We have a lot of people in this country who do not know what to do with the fact that they did not get what they wanted. I'm talking to Sherry Reed before church, and she said, well, you don't. He was democratically elected. You don't then go and protest that. You protest when someone's not democratically elected. And it's a sham. That's when you protest. And that's right. But the reason why these people are acting this way is because their hope is in man and in this temporal life. And the only way to deal with it is to protest and in some cases riot or try to by force to bring change. And since all of that is going on, I want to ask you to commit yourselves to something. You may already be committed to this, but if not, I'm asking you to commit yourself to it. And of course, it's the Word of God. Our text for today is only one passage of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. You know it very well. Let me read it. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And the focus of this message, while we're going to pray Of course, I pray for the nations. I have the nations in my heart, but I pray for the nations, and that's fine. But in particular right now, I'm talking about praying for our fellow Americans. That all men in there, praying for our fellow Americans. Why? Because we need to be united as a people. Okay? We need to be able to move on with the governing of our nation. Some have lost hope because they lost an election. Some have gained hope, but that hope is in a man and not in God. It doesn't matter which camp you find yourself in or which camp the Americans, all of our Americans, fellow Americans find themselves in. They still need God. They still need our prayers for them. Because if you won, you're feeling all broad chested and I got my candidate won, which is great. But I'm not talking about for Christians so much, but for an unsaved person to have their hope, or even for a Christian to have their hope in a man, is going to let you down. Right? So we need to pray. The Lord wants us to lift up our voice in prayer for the people of America. Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. We're going to keep, listen, church, pray and keep on praying. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Because God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to answer prayer. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? God said, will you do that? If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We're going to be asking, I've already started asking for some good things for President-elect Trump, praying for his administration, chief of staff. Praying for, you say, what if you don't agree with him? Doesn't matter. The scripture didn't say, if you agree with the people, pray for them. Thank you. Somebody out there said, okay. The scripture didn't say it said, pray for them. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 6:27? He said, to pray for your enemies. He said, do good to those who despitefully use you. And the first century Christians did this, beloved, on a level that, well, we here in the States probably haven't come to realize. Some folks in other countries, yes. But they gave themselves to that. And so I was up this morning praying for President-elect Trump, praying for his administration, his cabinet, praying for all the things that are going to transpire that we know nothing about, but God knows. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, because we want to be obedient to God and also obedient to a government that's walking in righteousness. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So when we ask according to God's will, we know that he hears, and we know that we have the petitions. And we have the word of God right here that says to pray for all men, supplications, pleadings, and making requests, intercessions, praying for all of our fellow Americans. What should I pray for these people? Well, we know first and foremost, they need to know God. There are people who are losing. There are people on Facebook. It is unbelievable what people are feeling. There are people who cry like babies when Clinton lost. I'm looking at it going, okay, well, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry. And if Trump had lost, it would have been the same way. And I would have been, I'm sorry. What? God opened their eyes. Help them to see Christ in all of his fullness. So we're going to pray for these people that they would hear the truth of the gospel and be saved. That the will of God would be done in their lives. That they would hear the call of God. That the grace and mercy of God would overtake them in Christ. And so what we have to realize is that though, you know, we understand Hillary wasn't, I'm not going to talk about the character. We know it was messed up. If Hillary had won, we'd still be in the same predicament we're in. We'd be still be in the same circumstance. The nation tore up. People messed up. The headlines blowing up. And so we need to understand that we have a president-elect. We have no perfect candidate. And we're going to be in prayer that God's will be accomplished through the incoming government. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. That's why God said, pray for all men. That's what Paul's saying here. I pray, I'm encouraging you, I exhort you to pray for all men and everywhere. Acts 17 and 30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So God wants us to pray for all men because all men have sinned and God has commanded all men to repent. And then the last scripture is just two verses down from our text, verse 4, which says, God who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is what why we're praying for all men, because all men have sinned. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And God's will is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth in Christ. So we're praying for all, and I mean all men. We have to understand the beauty of this thing. I find myself, look, I was watching whatever the other day, people talk on some program, and they were so beautiful to me, these people. They were just so beautiful. And it's because they are made in the image of God. We can be so desensitized to violence because we see so much of it that we can look at someone get slapped, hit, shot, or whatever, and it just doesn't even faze us. We just move on to the next thing. But that person is made in the image of God. God help us. Because we may not only find ourselves praying for all men, we may be looking in the mirror and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to change concerning my attitude toward whatever, whoever. Had a brother, a pastor, I just saw on Facebook the other day. He has spoken in this pulpit multiple times. He put up an apology on Facebook because he and someone else got in a little too hot a discussion about the election. And he probably said something that he said, I need to apologize because I just went a little bit too far. And he posted his apology. And why? Because it was necessary. And this is one of the reasons why I say, don't do politics on Facebook. Don't do politics on Twitter. Don't do politics on social media, you know. And before you do politics, pray. Pray. Get alone with God. I'm serious. Get alone. Because you don't know how truly affected you are until the moment presents itself for you to be uncovered. And I'm telling you, because I'll show you, we're watching it right now. The Trump supporter says, if he doesn't win, we're going to protest. We're going to riot. We're going to. The Democrats didn't say anything. They're just hanging back because they, I got it. But as soon as their candidate lost, whoop, the covers came off and we marched, and bringing guns and, you know, acting out. And, well, someone got shot in Portland. I mean, when the moment presents itself, you find out how much you really need God and how emotionally connected you were to that outcome, which causes one to want to perform some self-inspection and say, you know, where really is my heart? He said not only to make requests and intercessions, he said, but to give thanks. Give thanks. Yeah. Give thanks for those. Verse 2, he goes on and says, for kings, gets a little bit more specific, for kings and all who are in authority. So for governors, as we say, state councils, state legislatures, or city councils, state legislatures, and state courts and so forth, for all who are in authority. And what he's asking us to do and what I'm asking us to do is not just for them, but it's for you. It's for you. I didn't say it. Paul said it. He said, pray for kings and all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And Carl's been talking about love for weeks. And as we talk about just responding to different things, and beloved, Christ said, when they see our love for one another, then they will know that he sent us. We are at a moment right now in our nation. We have an opportunity for the church to shine so brightly, for the church just to enormous, because when you aren't full of vitriol, and when you aren't full of all of this vile stuff coming out at other people, and you love people that don't look like you, don't vote like you, don't think like you, don't talk like you, don't live like you. Hello? Don't post like you. When you do that, now everyone's not going to run up to you and say, what is it about you? But I can guarantee you the thought's going to cross their mind, something different about that person. What is it about that person? What is it? So we're to pray for kings and all who are in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. What am I to pray for our leaders and authorities? Well, let's pray for their salvation, of course. Amen. Let's pray for righteousness. Because Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Let's pray for humility. Let's pray for our leaders for humility. This poor man down in Richmond, this poor man who was a state legislator, never been married, had a 17-year-old staff worker that he got pregnant. That's statutory. So he lost his seat. It was vacant, but from prison, he was able to submit for the vacancy to come. Some logistics had to be made, but so there was no one to fill the seat. And so he won the ability to then come back and fill the seat. So while he was in prison, he actually, when he got out, he got his seat back. Then he ran for the mayor of Richmond. He married the girl and has a child, and he ran for the mayor and he lost. And I'm looking at this story, and thinking to myself, God, we need you. We need you. So let's pray for righteousness, pray for humility, for understanding, for wisdom, for knowledge, for patience. I don't know about you, but I've seen some of the pictures, and it's understandable. I've seen some of the pictures of Trump with President Obama. And you know how us men are, you know. Obama's swagging because he, I haven't done this 8 years. I know what's up, you understand? Hey, Trump's in there looking like, what have I done? And and I'm looking at him going, and I'm praying, Jesus, help him. Help. Because they tell you, when you walk into the White House. Now, I don't know how many of you have been there, but I've taken some folks through the White House before. It's impressive. I mean, but when you walk in and the responsibility for all that is going to be on you. we need to pray. We need to pray. Knowledge, patience, strength of heart and conviction. I'm sure it happened to Obama. It happened to all of them. It happened to all of them. Because you see, you're not just when you become president or any elected office. You're not just filling a position made by man. That's authority that comes from heaven. And when that weight comes down on you, thank God that the scripture says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His shoulders. But believe me, when you step into it, you feel just a little bit on yours. You feel a little bit on yours. One commentary says about this passage concerning praying for kings, about these new or first century or thereabout first, second century saints, third century, reads as it is a positive maxim of Christianity to pray for all secular governors, so it has ever been the practice of Christians. When Cyprian defended himself before the Roman proconsul, he said, we pray to God not only for ourselves, but for all mankind. And particularly for the emperors. He said, particularly for the emperors. Now, mind you, some of the emperors were killing Christians. Nero, Diocletian, others. Tertullian, in his apology, is more particular. He said, we pray for all the emperors that God may grant them long life. A secure government. You want to know some things to pray for? This is what some of the early saints prayed for. Grant them long life, a secure government, a prosperous family. Now, you have to remember, I forget, was it Caesar Augustus, Julius Caesar, that the Roman Senate killed him? Remember? I forget the name of which one, but he was killed. That'd be like the president, Obama, going into the joint houses of Congress and not coming out. Hello. You know, so we need to pray. We need to pray for those in authority. So he says that they would pray that God would grant them long life, a secure government, a prosperous family, vigorous troops, a faithful Senate, and obedient people. That the whole world may be in peace, and that God may grant both to Caesar and to every man the accomplishment of their just desires. Tertullian also said this, he who lives only to benefit himself confers on the world a benefit when he dies. Which I thought was let me read that again. He said, he who lives only to benefit himself confers on the world a benefit when he dies. My goodness. To another of the church fathers, Origen said, we pray for kings and rulers that with their royal authority they may be found possessing a wise and prudent mind. Oh boy, you want some things to pray for? Pray over his mind. Come on. Pray that he would be able to perceive and understand justice and equity and prudence. All the words, you know, those wonderful words, Proverbs uses, you know, righteousness, all of these things. He goes on, it goes on and says, indeed, they prayed even for those by whom they were persecuted. If the state be not in safety, the individual cannot be secure. If the state be not in safety, then the individual cannot be secure. I understand what Trump meant. I understand what he was saying when he said, ban Muslims from entering the country. I understand it. That doesn't mean that it wasn't offensive to everyone. It was. But I understand what he was saying. He said, until we know what the H is going on. But what he was saying was, until we can get a process of finding out who the killers are coming into our country, we need to be able to find that out. It's just that he doesn't say it in a way that it's agreeable to everyone. And so I believe that much healing has to take place in our nation. I think we all understand that much of what's going on right now happened, unfortunately, because of the rhetoric that he used. When you allow people in your rallies to say, lock her up and Trump that be, and just chant, you give rise to people's baser emotions and baser instincts where they can say and just do anything. And so now we're having to deal with that. Remember last week I said this, we are made in the image of God. God created all things by what he said. When we say something, we create something. When we say something, we create something. And when people keep saying, when you keep saying something, you create it, and then you're going to have to deal with it. And that's the case. That's just plain and simple. The case right here. That if all those things weren't said, if Mike Pence had ran for office, we wouldn't even be having any riots today. We wouldn't. Because he would never say, he would never have allowed all the things that were said and allowed. We have to own up to that. That's just plain fact. But now, what I'm praying for that we would see is that things would change and things would be realized. Things would be done to perhaps right the ship, because we're kind of upside down now. We're kind of taking on water, and we need, and I'm not talking about the United States, as a lot of people say, are going down. I don't believe that. I'm just saying that we need to right the ship. So he said, if the state be not in safety, the individual cannot be secure. Self-preservation, therefore, should lead men to pray for the government under which they live. Of course, that's always been the case, right? I mean, you do pray for America, don't you? You do pray for this nation. God help our troops. Help our government. Uncover the darkness that's lurking about in our nation. Expose plots, nefarious and dark and wicked intentions of evil men and women who are plotting against our country, who are plotting to blow up places. Wednesday night, I'm down in the district cleaning, minding my business. You know, it says to live in peace and in godliness and reverence. And I'm down in D.C. cleaning my stores. And my sister texts me, have you heard about the riots? I'm like, what riots? And I'm sitting at a light and the police standing right there. He's saying, go this way, because the riots are right there. I was two blocks from the White House on Wednesday night when the riots were going on. And I'm down there doing my thing, cleaning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And yet the riots, the demonstrations are right there, and I'm being affected by them. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for all men and for those who are in authority. He goes on and says, rebellions and insurrections seldom terminate even in political good. Rebellions and insurrections and the like of which we're seeing right now, it's not going to result in, oh, let's flip and it's the popular vote, Hillary won, and now we're going, come on, that's ignorant. That doesn't even make sense. No, we need to be able to accept and pray and move on, because God is king. Rebellions and insurrections seldom terminate even in political good, and even where the government is radically bad, revolutions themselves are most precarious and hazardous. They who wish such commotions would not be quiet under the most mild and benevolent government. In other words, what he's saying is, even if they had a good government, you still have people going to be causing trouble, causing uproar, and all these types of things. So, those are what some of the church fathers had to say. The truth of the matter is simply this. We're all in this together. I don't even know the song. I just know some of it. But we're all in this together, church, beloved. I mean, we voted as a citizen of the United States, but we pray as citizens of the kingdom of God. Okay? We vote one time every 4 years, but we pray every moment of every day. Okay? So it is clear where we reside and where we're to spend the majority of our time. We need one another. And we need a righteous and a wise government to lead this nation. And so this should be heavy upon the heart of every believer, that we might live lives that bring glory to our Lord and draw hearts to Christ. So I'm simply asking us to commit to, when we pray, remember everyone in our nation. Remember, and even, you know, go beyond that. Pray even more for the ones that are on the opposite side of you. Pray for them. And don't pray, Lord, I hope they get it right. I hope they understand it the way I understand it. Yeah. No. Pray that they would know Christ and his love and have an eternal perspective on this life. Because, beloved, we're all here for a short while. Hello. And pray that. Well, I'm not going to mention that, but just pray. Just pray. Pray and let God use us in the arena of prayer, because we've been given this gift. And sometimes I think about it and I go, Father, you are so good to be able to pray. You know, he could have saved us and laid it out and said, listen, this is how it's going to be. And if you don't like it, tough. But he didn't say that. He said, pray. Pray. So we have some influence. We have some say as we pray into the will of God for his purpose in this world. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your love, for your goodness. We thank you for the United States of America. We thank you, O God, for the process of electing a president and the order that you provide in this life. We thank you that you cause the sun to shine every day upon the just and the unjust. We thank you that you cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. We thank you that you take care of all things. Your tender mercies are over all the works of your hands. We pray, Lord, for this nation and everyone in it, Lord, that they, oh God, would come to an understanding. Lord, would be embraced by your love. Father, we pray for peace on our streets. We pray for a peaceful transfer of power and accepting of it, O God. And we pray, Lord, your will, your rule, your dominion, O God, over President-elect Trump and his administration and all that will transpire. Lord, we trust you with our government. We trust you with our lives. We will pray for them, O God. We will intercede. We will cry out for the best. We will cry out, O God, for your will to be accomplished, O God, not only for the sake of the government, But Lord, for Melania and the Trump family, oh God, and all the families involved, oh God, we pray, oh God, for our nation. We thank you for our nation, and we will continue to pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done, that the light of your glory would so fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that the world would know that Jesus Christ sent the church. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.